everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. I believe every lie that I ever told. Paid for every heart that I ever stole. I played my cards and I didn't fold. Well, it ain't that hard when it got sold. Hey! Somewhere I heard that life is a test. I've been through the worst, but I still get my best. God made my mold different from the rest. Then he broke that mold, so I know I'm blessed. Stand up now and face the sun. Won't hide my tail or turn and it's time to do what must be done. Be a king for kingdom come. Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes I am, yes I am, yes I am. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. I got all the answers to your questions. I'll be the teacher, you could be the lesson. I'll be the preacher, you be the confession.
Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, wherever you are listening to this broadcast live or listening to this via podcast. Again, this is Dr. Keelan Hinton, and I'm accompanied by Dr. Nate Chapman.
Hello.
And we want to thank you for joining us for another edition of Brother to Brother, again, where we discuss it's two brothers' perspectives on life, community, culture, relationships, community, and everything in between. Okay? So, we want to thank you for joining us. Again, as we always say, you could have been anywhere, but you decided to hang with us for a few minutes, and we just want to say thank you. For those that would like to participate in the show, you can participate. You can shoot us an email at b2bpsych@gmail.com. That's b2bpsych@gmail.com. b2bpsych@gmail.com. Or, again, we will have the live feed going, and maybe the last 10 minutes of the broadcast, we'll answer any questions if you choose to chime in on a live feed. And the live feed is at Mahogany Love and Light at podbean.com. That's Mahogany Love and Light dot podbean.com. Okay? And as we always say, any of the perspectives, ideas, suggestions, or anything that you hear from this show are not supported by Marshall University, are not supported by any of its supporters, affiliates, employees, or sponsors. It's not supported by WMUL, any of its employees, sponsors, affiliates, or supporters, but these are the sole perspectives and ideas and points of view of myself, Keelan Hinton, as well as Dr. Nate Chapman. So as we always say, take this advice at your own risk if any advice is given. And as we always say, this is not therapy.
No, it's not, ladies and gentlemen, but we'll be sure to provide you resources just in case you feel like you need some therapy.
Definitely, definitely. So, it's been a couple of weeks since we've been on live, and a lot of things have happened. One of the things that we would like to address from a lot of different angles is the tragic passing of Mr. Kobe Bryant and his daughter. I think it's Gigi's, her name Gianna. Her name was Gianna Bryant. And I'm pretty sure that everyone knows about it. But if you don't know about it, Kobe Bryant, again, was probably one of the most prolific scorers we've ever seen in a generation. And he died, him and his daughter, and I think seven other people died in a helicopter crash. It's been a few days now. Okay, it's been Sunday, so it's been about 5 days. And I think what surprised me about it was, the overwhelming response that the world had. Like the entire world grieved. And it was weird because I liked Kobe. I thought he was a great player and I liked him. But I wasn't that big of a Kobe Bryant fan, and even I felt like I felt different that day. For some reason or another, inside, I could feel other people's pain. You could feel the sorrow and pain that so many other people felt. And I guess my initial first question that I like to throw out is, how is it that people feel connected, so connected to someone that they've never met? How can people feel so connected to someone that they've never met, that they've never seen? I mean, I had friends, like grown men and grown women I know, shed real tears of sadness and pain. They had never seen them play. They had never gone to a game. This was just someone that they felt admiration for on TV. So the question is, how does that happen?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's an interesting question. I remember, you know, when you told me via text, and it was like a shock. I thought that it was going to be one of those hoax or something that wasn't real. And, I mean, before we get into that question, I was thinking about it for myself. When Kobe was a player, I respected Kobe, but I didn't like him. A lot of reasons I didn't like him, playing against my teams and a lot of different things like that. But I think part of the answer to that question, at least for me, it affected me, I guess I was surprised, because I think about the celebrity deaths that I've experienced, and I haven't really been affected by many, except for maybe Tupac, who happened when I was, you know, in high school. But I think with Kobe, he's not too far from our age, you know, like, he's only a couple years older, uh-huh. And it seems so soon and unfortunate, and I was starting to watch some of his different videos. Like, a lot of his videos are surfacing now because he's passed.
Yeah.
And I can relate to Kobe in a lot of ways. Like, his drive for excellence. He was a Virgo. Happened to be a Virgo, too. And there's this, like,
I'm a Virgo.
You know, there's this Mamba mindset, but there's also this Virgo mindset, which is, some people might think it's a little perfectionistic. But we like excellence. We drive for excellence. And I can relate to that in Kobe. And you know, Kobe was very articulate, and he had a way about him that I think some people, if you didn't really know him well, you might think he's kind of cold. Yeah. And I can relate to that, because I feel like sometimes people might feel that way about me. And I just related to his work ethic and who he was as a person, and I could relate to him that way, even though I didn't really like him as a player. And I started to watch some of his videos and his mindsets, because, you know, I'm into that peak performance stuff. You can see when he talks about the different things, you know, you hear him say work ethic, but when you really listen to some of the things he was saying and how he lived his life, and there's one quote he brought up from one clip I was watching, and basically, I don't remember the quote verbatim, it was from like some teacher he had early on in life, and it was basically, you quit at the end, or you rest at the end. That was it. You rest at the end. And that's kind of how he lived his life in his game, you know. And I think I just could relate to that, and it that's why it grieves me. So it's like gone too soon. I think people can see parts of themselves in him, or parts of themselves that they strive to be, even if, you know, if they weren't able to accomplish it. At least that's what resonates for me. Like, yeah. When I think about it, I'm processing some of it just right now as I thought about it. I really haven't talked through with anybody, but there's the parts you can relate, parts you can, you know, for some of us, we grew up with Kobe. He's pretty close to our age. Sure, he affected a generation, but he affected a generation that we grew up in. We're like, yeah, right there with him. He's like a brother in some ways, even though maybe you didn't know him. Maybe you hated him when he was playing against you, but you sure had some respect for him.
Yeah. I heard somebody say this, and it blew my mind. They said that he was, the duration of his life, he was a professional basketball player longer than he wasn't.
Hmm.
He played for 20 years, and he got in the league when he was 17.
Right.
So think about that. Yeah. Like, he was a professional basketball player longer than he wasn't a professional basketball player. And that's important because I think a part of it is we saw this cat grow up before our eyes. Mm-hmm. We saw him go through his 20s, his 30s. Like, we saw this man evolve from a 17-year-old child to a 40-year-old grown man.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a part of it was what the average person plays in the league for, what is it, 4 years or something like that? Somebody was in the league 20 years.
On like, one team.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. On one team for 20 years. So it's like, I could see how he could become a fixture. For 20 years, I watched the basketball. There was always Kobe for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
We can't say that about most players. So he seemed like a permanent fixture in that context and in the world. You know what I'm saying? But I'm always, again, the question is, why do we feel so connected to people that we don't know? And maybe it's because they allow us to escape our mundane lives. Maybe it's because they are who we wish we were. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And he was a tall, attractive cat that could ball, that was ferocious. As men watching the game, he is a reflection of who we wish we could be and who we would like our sons to be. And while people came and went in the game, he was this constant. And I think, not just with Kobe, I think that's a part of the, like, for all famous people that we grow and develop an admiration for and we get attached to, I think that's a part of the reason why. Not only we don't get attached because we like their art and they help us escape our normal day. That's not what that's not what attaches us to them. It's because I wonder if it's because they are who I wish I could be. And he is who I hope my sons become one day.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's not just with him. And maybe it's a little bit different with artists, with musicians. Maybe it's a little bit different with musicians. Music and sports are the same in that is they have a way of pulling emotion out of people like nothing else. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, absolutely, like nothing else.
Yeah, that's interesting because as I'm thinking about it, it's a little bit difficult for me to separate my own feelings about Kobe to generalize them to everybody because it's so fresh for me. But I guess when I think about trying to compare music to this, and I think about the only other celebrity that affected me that way was Tupac.
Yeah.
And I think that was mainly because I knew all his lyrics. I had all his albums. I felt like I knew him in a deeper way through his music. And some of the songs, you know, during that time of my life really resonated with me. Like either Me Against the World, you know, all those different things. It's really, I don't think that would be the same across all genres. Maybe. Maybe not. Kobe, though, it's who Kobe is at this stage in my life and thinking about my life in this stage. And even though we're different, because he reached the apex, sort of, you know. I'm not there yet, but like the mindset, the mentality, it's not even the sport. It's that Mamba, Virgo is what I call it.
Yeah.
Mentality. Yeah.
I think music, and again, I'm in a place that I want to kind of broaden this just a little bit. I mean, I'll talk about a couple of broad, but
yeah.
Because I keep going back to how do we get attached to people that we don't know?
Yeah.
We just appreciate their art, but we don't know. There's something unique about music, and you just hit on it. Like with music, music speaks to the soul. Like music, Tupac, I know people that live in the hills of West Virginia in the holler, in the back holler somewhere with dirt roads that listen to Tupac, because there's something universal about music that speaks to pain, mm-hmm. that speaks to our raw emotions.
Right.
Whether you lived where Tupac lived and came where he came from, right. it didn't matter. He spoke to, like, he's speaking about pain, and everybody knows what it's like to be hurt. Everybody knows what it's like to be in love. Everybody knows what it's like to love somebody and not get love back. You know what I'm saying? So I see that connection with a musician, because through their art, they're tapping into something that is very personal to you.
Yeah.
But the way with which people reacted and responded to Kobe, I could feel like, I'm not saying it's unwarranted, but just that how did they form such a strong connection to someone in that genre? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Because it's not like he was on his way to becoming an agent of social change. You know what I'm saying? It's not like he was like Martin Luther King and somebody right. we saw march and feed people in the hood with get out turkeys. Right. I mean, it's not like we saw that kind of connection, but we knew he was on his way to doing those types of things, and he was doing those types of things. He just wasn't as those types of things aren't as readily public about him as his basketball stuff. You right. know what I'm saying? I just wonder. I see the connection with music, but like I said, it was my reaction surprised me. I literally felt like I had been hit in the stomach, and I couldn't figure that's. And what bothered me about it is I couldn't figure out why. I couldn't figure yeah. out why I was so hurt. You know what I'm saying? And a part of it was, it has nothing to do with him being famous. I think it was the way with which he died, tragically, dying with a daughter. You know, these are reports of when they found him, like, she was wrapped up in his arm, like, all of that yeah. kind of, all that kind of stuff. It was just the way, it was that he was so young. You know what I'm saying? Like, 40 seems old to, I know there's some young heads out there, but 40 ain't that old. Like, you're just figuring out what life is all about. And he had so much, like, we saw him transitioning into something different, being an entrepreneur, being an ambassador for women, really supporting the WNBA.
Yeah.
And there were all those scenes of seeing him with his daughter at the games. It's being a father. Like, that's what touched me. Like, seeing him be a dad and be a father. You know what I'm saying? And just, it just lets you know how fragile life is and how fragile life can be. You know? Like, my son, when it happened, my son looked at me and was like, he just was looking at me, and he was like, wow, he was your age.
Yeah, yeah.
And he hugged me, you know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. this realization that I talk to my kids all the time, and I tell them, live every day like it's your last, and don't go to bed mad, because ain't no guarantee that when we leave the house, we coming back.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And he just kind of looked at me and hugged me. He was like, man, he was your, like, he wasn't crying. It was like this catatonic look, like, this disbelief, like, that could have been my dad.
Right.
Like, he thinks of, like, old people.
Yeah.
Older people dying. You don't think of somebody who is your dad's age.
Right.
Just leaving the house for a practice and just never showing up again. You know what yeah. I'm saying? And it changed him. Like, it took him a few days. He's okay now, but it's like, it just something changed. Something in his DNA changed.
Yeah, and I think you can see some of that just around, even around the NBA. You know, Shaq and Kobe had a beef for a period of time, and I guess the beef was resolved. I don't really know, but I know that I read something about that Shaq basically just made a statement about living his life different, and then one of the things he was talking about was just not having those beefs anymore. Like, he said that he just called up a number of people, didn't say who it was, that he had these beefs with, these silly nonsensical beefs, and just like squashed it, like,
yeah,
because you don't know. I mean, in those situations, it's, I think that's another lesson for other people, is we have these friendships, relationships with different people, people we love, that we're just not talking to for right now for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And it's really petty. And it's not worth holding on for all of eternity.
Yeah. At the end of the day, like we say, it's something I'm sorry can't fix.
Yeah.
And if something happens to somebody, can you deal with walking around with the grief of then the regret of I wish I would have picked up the phone and said I'm sorry?
Yeah.
Or this person that you love, I wish I would have said, baby, don't go. Baby, let's talk about this. Give me another chance. Like, just some stuff I'm sorry can't fix, you know? And to think about his wife and to lose a husband. Just to lose a husband and a daughter. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just, I can't wrap my mind around it. You know what I mean? But it amazed me, people's overwhelming reaction to it. My visceral response to it, literally my body's response to it, was weird. And I just wasn't a Kobe fan like that. And again, a lot of that was, I saw him grow up. He's our age. We kind of sort of grew up with him, knowing he was a father, the way it happened. That surprised me. And people's, and then there's this other crowd out there, their reactions to it.
Okay.
And people instantly started talking about that whole case all over again. And I was like, how could you do this now? Like, this man ain't even buried yet.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, they just kept constantly bringing up their rape case. They kept constantly bringing up their case. And I'm like, it just disappoints me that as a society, we won't let people evolve. We won't let people grow. We won't let people change. You know what I'm saying? And I tell people all the time, I don't care who you was, who are you now? I'm dealing with who you are right now. Who are you now? I don't care what you did yesterday. I don't care what you did last week. I don't care what you did 10 years ago. Like, who are you now, and who are you trying to become? Who are you trying to evolve into? You know what I'm saying? And it's just like the tragic way with which they passed, and to keep bringing up something that happened 15 years ago, which I don't think he got charged with anything. And last I checked, it was all this stuff. Just, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Is this the time to bring it up now? Even if it did happen, like, was this the time to do it right now?
Yeah. I mean, I hear that. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if Kobe did or didn't do that. I know he wasn't convicted of it. I believe there was some type of plea deal. I'm not really sure. I don't know all the facts on that. But I think the question about when people die, whether they're a celebrity or not, what we choose to recognize at their death is a different question. You know, like when you think about funerals, you go to funerals. I haven't been to one funeral where someone said, you know, this dude was a total prick. You know, he was definitely not the salt of the earth. I've never been to a funeral like that. People are always, no one's going to say he was mean and surly. They're going to say all these nice stuff, all these nice things about this person, because that's what you do at funerals. You know? And part of me does wonder, is that actually genuine or not? But it comes back to this idea of, if a person is nuanced, right? Kobe or whoever, and I'm not talking about this whole rape thing. I'm just saying, I'm sure he's had some things.
Yeah.
That weren't great. Just like we all have things. Is right after death, is that time to talk about those things? Or?
I just think that just out of respect, people need to heal. Like, no matter how bad somebody is, somebody out there loved them.
Mm.
You know, that's just what I think. No matter how I feel about people. They got kids out there somewhere. Like, everybody's a superstar to somebody. That's what I tell. I say that all the time.
Yeah.
That my son might not be nobody in the world, but he my superstar. He a superstar to me, and he a superstar to my family. So I just think that no matter who people are, just out of respect for the dead, just out of respect for the fact that as people and as souls, we transition, just out of respect, out of the process of transitioning spiritually, just give it a minute. It ain't been a week. The mine ain't in the ground. They still looking at the crash site, and we talking about dirt. And I don't understand the purpose in it. The only reason I could see that people are writing stuff like this is because they're trying to go so far to the right to gain attention for themselves to get 15 minutes of fame. Because no logical, rational person would dog somebody that they know is beloved by everybody, is beloved by the world in that way right after they did.
Okay, well, I don't know. I think that depends. I think you got people that have, you know, hurt people, as we say, right? So I think you have people that have been affected in different ways by some of these things that they might be bringing back up. Not by Kobe, but by somebody else, and then he represents those pains that they've caused. That doesn't make it right or wrong, but I think that would be a reason why someone would do it, and not necessarily be out to just get famous. It might just be a way that they deal with the pain that they got.
Is that fair? No. I mean, is it fair? And we sort of talked about this in the cancel culture thing, I guess.
Yeah.
And for everybody out there, I think it was episode 2.
Yeah, episode 2.
Go listen to episode 2 where we had a conversation about cancel culture.
And while you're there, you can listen to episode 1 too, because I had to do the order. Episode 1 is just the introduction, so you know.
Yeah. I mean, go listen to all of them. But, I mean, 20 years later, 15 years later or whatever it is, at what point do we let people grow and evolve? You know what I'm saying? I just think it's easier, no matter what the situation, it's easier to step on people and dog people because it makes us feel better about our crappy lives.
Well, that's probably true.
I think that's a lot of what it is. I think that's the only reason that we dog other people that we're not connected to, that we have no connection to, and people we dog that we're connected to. Why else? It makes us feel better. Like I said, Springer. The reason you love Springer is because it lets you know that my life is messed up, but it ain't that messed up.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
So it's kind of the flip of the coin, because going back to your original question about why we love celebrities, one reason we love celebrities is because, hey, they show us what we aspire to be. Others, though, I mean, why do we like celebrities that are always in trouble? So we can laugh and say, look at that, that's drama we ain't in, but I do like watching their drama.
Yeah, it's entertaining. And then as for whatever reason, culturally, we love to see train wrecks. Mm-hmm. I haven't quite figured that part out yet. I haven't quite figured out why we like to see tragedy. We love to see drama and tragedy, like basketball wives and all these shows where all these wives fighting and cussing and stealing each other's man and or whatever these shows are.
Yeah.
Why do they have the highest ratings? Like, we like drama. We like to see people get their ass whooped. Like, we like to see fighting. We like to see sex. We love sex and violence. As Americans, we love our sex and violence. You know what I'm saying? And we like to see, one of the hottest shows was Jackass. Dudes hurting themselves.
Oh, like, yeah, that show was crazy.
But we like to see people get hurt, though. Like, why do we film fights? Why don't you break it up? We like to see people fight. We like to see people, like, where does that come from? We like to see people get hurt. We like to see people fight. We like to see drama. For whatever reason, culturally, like, we're just, and that's a cultural thing. That's an American Western cultural thing. We like drama, and we like to see other people's pain. So that's a part of the reason why we follow these stars, these superstars, and these athletes that get in trouble. Like, we just like to see the train wreck. And then we like to say, it's a train wreck, and it's messed up, and it's his fault.
I think it's part of that. I think the other thing that when we talk about, I think it's all like parts of a spectrum. So it's sort of like the Jungian perspective, the animus, the anima. Like, we have all these universal things about us, and they get portrayed in different genres: music, movies, drama shows, whatever it may be, and we get to see the different aspects. So fighting and different things, that's one part. But I don't necessarily think it's just, I do think that we like to see it because so we can judge people, but also because that's a part of us. And watching it, we don't have to express it, but somehow we might get to satisfy some part of that need by watching somebody else do it.
There is this Karthik effect. I'm saying it wrong.
I would have helped you, but the word is blank in my head right
now. Yeah, but anyway, this notion of idea of how when we watch things, it pulls that emotion out of us.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? To some degree. It arouses and pulls that emotion out of us. Like, I'm a violent person and I watch violence. It arouses and pulls that emotion out of me. And to some degree, I wonder if it stops us from...
Cathartic.
Yeah, cathartic. Sorry. I wonder if to some degree, seeing sex and seeing violence has this cathartic effect and actually stops us to some degree from doing some of the stuff that we want to do.
Well, I think that's what inspired the movie The Purge. But I think there is some research that says that not so much. But I do think we feel that way. I think it satisfies something in us, you know, seeing it, watching the stories. I mean, because we have all types of genres. You got the romance movies that people love, so they can satisfy that part of the spectrum.
Yeah. Maybe that's what it is. So... an icon is gone. Peace and blessings to his family. I think a part of it was the way with which it happened. And again, for those listening, we're just sort of exploring all the different nuances and aspects to the public's reaction to it. Some people were sad. We're constantly seeing people say, why are you... We're constantly seeing people say, wait, 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 he was a rapist. I'm seeing... there are people who... well, I'm seeing people say, why are y'all so upset? Y'all don't get that upset when people around you... there's this trend now where people want to stand out and they want to say... it's becoming popular to say, well, you know, you're upset over him, but you don't get upset when people around you die.
Yeah.
Which I don't think is the truth, but it's just people want to have something to say.
I saw a post, something to that effect, and it was like it was a post of some veterans or some military members that had passed. You know, that's something that's near and dear to me. But it was basically saying this person didn't die in the way that Kobe died, so it probably won't get any attention. And when I see those things, that hurts me in a way, because it's like, one life is no more valuable than the other life. People grieve because they're affected. Why are we saying that you have to be affected this way for this person and this way for the other person, or comparing them? Like, I don't understand. I don't understand what the value is to that. And I also think that people don't understand the unique impact that grief has on people. Like, okay, some people are grieving Kobe, but some people, when this thing happened with Kobe, they're not really grieving Kobe. They're grieving the universality of it. They're grieving their dad that died young, or their brother that they lost, or even their sister or their mother. It represents something leaving before its time. Well, I mean, we don't know the time, but in our mind, something before its time.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's a good point. Again, I agree with that. That's dope. Because you didn't know him. It's like when you look at a picture and you smile, you're smiling at... It's what are they calling cognitive second order? Like a second order reinforcement or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, you're smiling at a piece of paper and paint. They're not there.
Right.
But it elicits some kind of, like, he is a symbol and stands for something.
Yeah.
You didn't know him personally. So... he was a symbol and a representation of something you wish you were, what you want your son to be, or when, like you said, when he died, it made you think of somebody else that was that age and died, or something like that. So it's complex. It's not. I mean, like you said, now I'm processing it now too.
Yeah.
Again, and it sort of goes back to the original question I had of why do we react and respond the way that we do to anybody that's famous?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know.
Who else famous, if anybody, has affected you when they passed?
I can't think of anybody.
Can't think of anybody.
For whatever.
He's cold-hearted, y'all. No, I'm just kidding.
Even when, look, even when Tupac died, I was like, man, that's, you know what? And maybe it was because somewhere in my head, I came from a perspective of live by the sword, die by the sword.
Yeah.
But it's like when something happened to somebody who just minding their business, just living their life and, yeah, and being a good person and a good father, that's completely like, and I'm not saying that street dudes out there, shout out street dudes. I'm not saying that street dudes get what they deserve and it's not sad. That's not what I'm saying.
Right.
I'm saying I think that, well, I wonder if coming from that frame of reference, you know what I'm saying, if it, it's kind of like this. Sexual assault is a horrible thing. We can agree with that.
Yeah.
We talk about dudes getting sexually assaulted in jail all the time and nobody cares.
Right.
We even joke about it. We even threaten kids and people make jokes about being sexually assaulted in jail. Keep on, don't drop the soap. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a joke and we don't care because they put themselves there and they get what they deserve. So you see what I'm saying when I say, like, how context, like the context that the person is in and sort of this attribution error, this attribution that we make. Do you deserve it? Is it internal, like, is it external or internal? Did something just happen? Is it external or internal? Like, are you there because of some internal character flaws that you have?
Right.
Or is it something externally that the world just happened and you got caught up in something and you just died in a plane crash? I think it matters. Like, I don't know if that's a, I know that's probably a risky thing to even talk about, but I'm just saying that's what that makes me think. If you think about sexual assault, we think about women being sexually assaulted, it's because we think of them being dominated, we think about them being overpowered, we think about them not giving consent, but that same thing happens to men in jail, and nobody cares.
Well, on that note, and then I want to come back to my previous thought, even if it's not in jail, if situations are reversed, now y'all, we're not making light of sexual assault. We know it's a horrible thing and that affects females more than affects males. But when the situation happens from female to male, it is given less attention depending on how it happens.
Agreed.
And that's one of those context issues. So that would be one. The other thing, when you're talking about context, I think that's interesting because you have the people that are asking and they're saying like, oh, well, what's going on with when we talk about deaths and context, the people that are saying like, well, how come we're not concerned about people that are not celebrities? Because they're probably focusing on this context thing and maybe thinking about people in their neighborhood that are dying that we're not paying attention to because of context.
Yeah.
Because they're nobody and they're outside of our awareness, which brings up an interesting point. That's something to consider for those people that feel that way.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. How do we, I just wonder if the question is, I don't know, as I said before, I am still processing all the different reactions to this.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I really am. I don't know. Moving forward. But again, peace and blessings to him. Peace and blessings to his family. And, you know, again, at the end of the day, like we always end every show by saying, you never seen a U-Haul follow a hearse. Ain't none of us promised tomorrow. And at the end of the day, all we gonna care about is what type of person you was. And all you gonna think about is that you do the things you want to do. You know, and that was the tragic part about it, was how much more he had to do. And he just seemed, and again, me and Joe just talked about this. Why do good things happen to bad people? You know what I'm saying? Like, why does tragedy, we want to believe that there is a rhyme or a reason. I think that is a larger part of what people are reacting to as well, is that we can't make sense of it. Like, again, not going back to the sexual assault thing, but going back to it, if something happened and you get sexually assaulted in jail, there's a rhyme and a reason to it, and you're getting what you deserve. And if you wouldn't have done what you did to get there, it wouldn't be happening to you. Like, we like for things to make sense. You know what I'm saying? But, like, when you have someone who we perceive to be a good person and is a good father and is philanthropic and who is doing things, and they die, I wonder if a larger part of this makes us question God.
Well,
makes us question, like, I've heard people say stuff like, it makes us question God, it makes us question our place, it makes us question why these things are happening. Like, for you to bring up this rape case, it's like, are there people saying karma catches up with you eventually? Maybe. They're trying to find a rhyme or a reason why something tragic would happen to somebody because he really wasn't a good person because, you know, he got that rape charge.
Possibly. I think that question, you know, I think the big God question is always behind a number of these incidents, whatever it is, you know, whether it's Kobe or, you know, somebody's miscarriage or, you know, these things, it's always there. And the other part of that question is why these things happen, and is it, when we talk about purpose, we're just ants in the world, basically. How would we know he hadn't fulfilled his purpose? Maybe his purpose was to inspire the way he already did.
Yeah.
I mean, Kobe fans, don't be mad at me. I'm just saying, like, how do we know his purpose wasn't fulfilled?
Yeah. Who, I heard someone say once, we've got, like, you know how people, we all have this mentality, we've got to go on. And this guy was like, who the hell told you that? Who told you have to go on? Who told you you're supposed to survive? Who's to say you're supposed to live? Like, where do you get this, we have to survive and we have to go on? Where do we get this mentality from? And we just expect that a part of living a purpose-filled life is living to old age. And maybe whatever, if we have a purpose and whatever his purpose is or was, it was fulfilled and it was time to move on and move forward.
Maybe.
The more we talk about it, you know what? I'm telling you, the more we talk about it, the more I know I think for a lot of people, that's where that devastation comes from. That shit, that's scary.
Mm-hmm.
If the hangman can come and get Kobe Bryant, any of us can get it.
Well, any of us are gonna get it. I mean, this is the only promise we have.
But the fact that he's rich, he's handsome, he has everything, he's doing all these things right, he's contributing all these women's causes, and he's contributing to all these charities, and he died tragically. Like, it makes me feel like, what the hell am I out here trying for? What am I here trying for? If he gonna get it, what am I doing?
Like, well, I mean, true.
That is the scary part, and that is the disconcerting part, and that is what is so confusing, is when something really horrible, like the man didn't die in his sleep, and or he didn't get a chance to get sick and die around his kids, like that was tragic.
Yeah.
And out of nowhere, and doing something that he had done a million times, getting on that airplane. So a part of what the devastation was, like, all I kept hearing people say was, this wasn't supposed to happen. This shouldn't have happened. This shouldn't have happened. This shouldn't have happened. You know, like, I lost my thought.
Well, what I was thinking was, all that makes sense, and I can understand people dealing with these end-of-life kind of issues. What's the purpose? What does this mean? What does it mean for me? And I also think with Kobe, though, I think we have the blessing of, I mean, we really don't know what was in his mind and what he was thinking, but we see his body of work, for lack of better terms. We see what he was able to do. You know, that whole philosophy he had was rest when it's done. Well, he can rest. He's done his work, you know? And we all don't have the same time here. We all don't have the same workload. And, you know, the only, in my opinion, the only being that's going to know that would be a God that's orchestrated what your purpose and workload is and is going to decide when it's time to call his worker in.
Yeah.
But it won't make no sense to anybody else because they didn't put him on assignment.
Agreed. I'm interested. To me, it's interesting how tragedy either turns people to God or completely away from God. I don't know anybody that when tragedy happens, they stay lukewarm.
That's interesting.
I mean, I'm pretty sure there are those people out there. I'm just saying the people that I know in my life or who I've interacted with or people I've heard talk about, when tragedy happens and they can't make sense of it,
right?
It's either, where are you getting this faith from? Mm-hmm. I'm looking at them going, where are you getting, you know what I'm saying? I'm looking at you like my grandmother, shout out Ollie. My grandma would go to a funeral every week. Lord. I said, Grandma, how do you do that? Baby, we all going to die one day. Somebody got to be there.
Yeah.
Like, she sees tragedy happen again and again, and it somehow it strengthened this lady's faith. And then I know others that, why did God have, if there was a God, then why did my dad have to die in this car wreck? And if there was a God, it would have protected my dad. So obviously it's nothing there. Like, it seems to take people to these extremities. You know what I'm saying? It never leaves you in some place wondering. When something tragic happens, you make a decision about how you feel about whatever you thought was orchestrating all this.
Yeah.
And I think that, not to get too spiritual, but maybe this is where all this goes. I think that maybe both can coexist. Maybe there's God, and maybe whatever it is, it's hands off. And maybe shit just happens sometimes.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe there is no rhyme or reason to every single thing that happens. And maybe the only thing that matters in the universe is balance. Some sort of balance in some weird way. Obviously, none of us will ever know. But I don't think it has to be an either or. Maybe those two things can coexist to some degree. I mean, maybe believing that those things can coexist is helpful for those that feel like there has to be an either or. Maybe they should consider that those things can coexist, that there is something there, and to some degree, maybe it helps create stuff, but it's hands off, and just stuff just happen to people. Sometimes people just run lights and people hit people, and car wrecks happen and people die or whatever.
Well, I feel like, you know, this is just a feeling. I feel like if you know, if Kobe was here, Kobe was the type of cat that would watch video. You know, I heard one or saw some quote on Facebook. Allen Iverson was talking about him, and basically Allen Iverson, he was getting ready to go to the club after the game, and Kobe was going to the gym. And even with my students that I supervise, we look at video of clients they're seeing, and some of them don't like to see video. And I'll say, and I've always said this, like, well, Kobe watches video. And so I feel like if Kobe was going to speak right now, what he might say is, regardless of how you're feeling about these life, these end of life issues, you still have a chance to look back over your video because you're still alive and think about how you're doing your plays. Is there something you want to change? Now, you could do that with faith. You could do it without faith. You can still make some decisions.
Yeah.
And this is an opportunity for you to do that. Slow it down. Take a look. See if you want to change your place.
Yeah. And not that any tragedy is good, but how many people have grown through somebody else's tragedy?
Yeah.
Like I said, it made my son think about mortality. It made my son think about me. I think it made my son think about, do I take my dad for granted? You know what I'm saying? He goes to basketball practice. He come home. He got a hot meal ready. I'm washing his clothes. You know what I'm saying? Like, it made him reflect on what if that was him. This, because he looked, like I said, he looked at me and said, he your age. Like, it made him reflect on those things. And I wonder how many relationships became closer, how many beefs were squashed.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? How many people said, baby, let's talk about this, from that tragedy. And even in death, still doing work even in death.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I don't know, that's dope. That's dope. But
I think along those lines, the other things that people are probably doing now, like I said, I've been watching some of his videos, not his basketball videos, the videos where he'll be in interviews and saying things. And for me, it's not necessarily always his delivery, it's what he's saying. So I think the videos are playing now because he just passed. Probably a lot of people weren't watching them before. But there's pearls in some of the things he was saying, and it'll get more weight now that he's no longer with us. But the things that he was saying, the mama mentality, Those are things that are going to be life-giving too, which are more life-giving now because he's not here.
Yeah. Yeah. Good stuff. Good stuff, man. So, yeah, again, you know, peace and blessings to everybody out there. Anybody going through something, thinking about this, I guess, as we said before, the moral of all of this is none of us promise tomorrow, so take advantage of the day, you know? So what else we got for today? What else we got in regards to, we got anything else in regards to Kobe? Anything else in regards to people's reactions?
I just want to give a final thought on Kobe, and then we'll take a quick break.
Okay.
Yeah, it's you know, wrapping it up is kind of, I guess, hard for me with the Kobe situation, but what I hope people take away from it is I just want to reemphasize he was a video watcher. He was somebody that would take a look at the video, but he could do it in a different way. A lot of people are looking at their life and judging every step, but he could step outside himself. He could take a look at the video, take a look at the plays, judge them without judging himself so harshly that he can't make a different move next time. And that's not going to be just because the game of basketball is a team game. So you want to think about your whole situation, not just you. Now, that's one thing I kind of didn't like about Kobe. I thought he was selfish on the court. But in general, you can think about this with your team, whatever it is, your work team, your family team. How do you fit? Can you change some things? Do you want to change some things? And take the chance while you still got air in your lungs to do that. So those would be my final thoughts on Kobe for now.
All right. Again, we want to thank you all for joining us for edition of Brother to Brother. Again, as we always say, you could have been anywhere, but you're hanging out with us. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to throw on a song. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to recalibrate, and we'll be right back in 2 seconds.
Baby, funny how time flies. une nuit pleine d'étrange affectueux. I really don't know where all the time went. I really have to go. Stop. Stop. Oh, I really have to go. Oh, I really have to go.
All right, people. We are back again. We thank you. You could have been anywhere, but you decided to hang out with us. We just played Janet Jackson. Funny how time flies. I know that wasn't suitable with all that moaning, but that's just what came up, so it's what it is. We had a few other topics that we wanted to get into, but we were pushed for time. We got another young king coming in here to do his show. He's gonna spin some stuff, and he is ready to rock and roll. But so we don't have enough time to start another topic. So we just want to see those of you who are with us on the podcast online. We wanted to see what some of your reactions were. Glenn, and again, Glenn, who has an amazing podcast. Again, it's called The Random Couple Show. He's based out of Canada. Saskatchewan, is it? Saskatchewan, Canada? I'm sorry if I'm saying that wrong, Glenn, but Glenn is with us online from Canada. Has an awesome show. Again, the Random Couple Show, and he said that he was shocked but more rattled about the kids than anything else. Kobe made a legacy to remember by, but the kids had yet even had a chance to live a life. And I agree with you, Glenn. I think that had it just been him, I think that added an extra layer. Like, had it just been him, people would have been sad. There's something extra and different when stuff happens to children because they hadn't had a chance to live a life. You know what I'm saying? And that's, again, as I said before, like when I hear... Like when I heard young rapper got shot.
Nipsey?
No. XXX. Yeah, whatever. I'm an old man, so XXX Tentacion or what?
His name is Jose.
Yeah, Jose. But anyway, yeah. Whoever, you can tell I'm old. But I think what saddened me about his death was he was in his 20s. Yeah, and he hadn't had a, he was 20, like that's a baby. And it's like, his story hadn't been written. He hadn't had a chance, like he had made, there were all these stories about aggression with his girlfriend and being in the streets. And it's like, he hadn't had a chance to grow and evolve and mature and look back on, like, and evolve from that. You know what I mean? Like, that's what makes it so tragic and sad to me when young people die, because I have an interesting past, and here I am now. I'm a father, and I'm a loving father, and I try to help out in the community, you know what I'm saying, as best as I can. I'll help anybody that I can. I've grown and evolved, and it's sad when we see kids don't have a chance to live a life, or when we see young people that die tragically, and they don't have the opportunity to grow and evolve and become young men, you know, and evolve into men, you know what I'm saying? So I think that is probably what's most touching and what's sad, what made it so sad, was when you see stuff happen to babies. Not just his daughter, but the other, there were like three other young girls that were on there too, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That were that passed away too. So I don't know. I think that I agree, Glenn. That's what made it sad. Let's see what else. Everybody again, just reflecting on the kids. Bruce, shout out Bruce. We appreciate you, brothers, for tuning in online. Bruce said again, very sad about the kids. Again, people are reacting, responding to Gigi. Yeah, when kids pass, it's tragic. Like, more and more, I'm starting to see is that people online again are reacting and responding to the idea of his daughter dying. That is what made it so layered and so tragic and so painful. So again, those that are online listening on the podcast, we appreciate you. Peace and blessings to you. Okay. So I guess that we get ready to wrap up for the evening. We had a few other things to talk about. There were a lot of other things to talk about. That reporter that came out and made a faux pas of trying to report it, and you know, people coming out and,
oh, I forgot about that. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Which report are you talking about?
The Knickers.
Okay, that one. Yeah.
And she again, and maybe all of that applies to the cancel culture thing, because again, we think that she ended up losing her job. So, and that's probably just another conversation for another day, or we've probably covered that type of stuff in our cancel culture conversation. But again, it, you know, as we wrap up, I always just want to thank everybody who just listen to two dudes just try to sort through life and sort through, again, because when we come in here with nothing, pretty much nothing written down. We have a topic or an idea, and we both sort of thrive and love organic thought, just sort of sifting and teasing apart conversations and looking and trying to find the truth in the moment. You know, there is something dope and there's something beautiful about discovery. So we appreciate you guys sort of hanging with us and staying with us and listening to us kind of bounce back and forth and pause and grunt and groan, trying to feel our way through our own feelings, as well as trying to be as responsible as we can in helping other people who are listening sort of sift through what they're going through. So again, as I wrap up, and I'm gonna throw it to Dr. Chapman, and he's gonna wrap us up with a final thought as well. But again, as I always say, peace and blessings to you, and to those online, we appreciate it. And I apologize, I know somebody's trying to call online, but we're getting ready to wrap up. You have to call in next time. We appreciate your patience, and we appreciate you coming in. But again, as I always say, life is short. Graveyards are full of regret and potential. And make sure that you're living a life that you want to live. Make sure you're chasing your dreams. And make sure the people that you love know that you love them. Because at the end of the day, like I say, I've never seen a U-Haul follow a hearse. Don't let your life be about a paper chase. Don't let your life be about collecting things. Make sure that your life is full of love, is full of happiness, and it's all about the connections that you have with the people around you. Okay, so again, to those out there, again, we thank you so much for continuing to support the show, and peace and blessings to you.
Well, I want to thank you for listening, also giving us a chance to talk about this. I hadn't really taken any moment to really process it. I think when it comes to grief, it's always a hard conversation regardless of who's passed. So keep that in mind. Some of you, this might bring up some other things for you, or maybe you're dealing with your own grief, has nothing to do with Kobe, and you'd like a resource, a therapist or a counselor to go see. So I'm just going to give you a couple resources. You can always come to the clinic, the psychology clinic here at Marshall. The number is 304-696-2772. The counseling center, I have that number on me, but if you're a student, you can also go to the counseling center. If you're in the community and you happen to be in the Huntington area, you can go to Associates in Therapy and Psychology. The number there is 304-302-0525. A couple of announcements before I get to my closing statement. If you happen to be a couple that, well, first, you know, tune in to Dr. Hinton's Love Lines, usually on Sunday. What time is that usually at?
6 o'clock.
But also, I have a workshop coming up on February 14th for all you lovers out there. It's, I call it a West Virginia Day Dates, and we're going to be learning the 7 principles of how to make marriage work. You don't have to be married to come to it. It's a 2-day workshop. It's from 9 to 4 on Friday and Saturday. It's going to be downtown at the Marriott Delta. If that's something you're interested in, you can find more information about it at ChapmanTrainingAndConsulting.com. So that's www.ChapmanTrainingAndConsulting.com. So you can get more information about that. So the final thoughts, you know, I mentioned some things earlier, and that's the thing about, I guess, grieving in general. You can't rush it. It's something that takes its own time and space. And as we think about these conversations about purpose and God and death, that might bring up a lot of things for you. I guess a practical thing that I'll leave you with today is to think about, are you ready for death? I'm not preaching to you. This is not telling you to get Jesus, but I'm just asking you, are you ready in lots of different ways? Like, do you have your house in order? I know from losing some of my own people that when you don't have your house in order, that can be a very expensive thing. So even if you feel like you're real young, it's never too early to think about the practicality of what needs to be done when you pass. So get your house in order. We'll talk to you next week.